Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Karam Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
And it's good to be with you guys. I'm excited for this weekend. It's going to be fun. Text message. Would the Chiefs pick up Diontae Johnson just to get intel on the Texans for the playoff game this weekend? Now, it's a fair question. I will say this. The other reports were that Diontae Johnson, you know, that the playbook wasn't, you know, totally...
Yeah, that was
immersed
part of
the playbook. Right. That was part of it. I don't know. Yeah, Diontae Johnson has I don't know how much intel Diontae Johnson was himself getting on the Texans while he was.
Yeah,
there.
I don't like Diontae Johnson doesn't strike me as the guy who's like, oh, we need to pick his brain to figure out how to, you know, I don't know, steal this technology for Apple. So maybe, but I'm not overly worried about it if they do.
No,
it doesn't seem like Diontae Johnson has necessarily either the appetite or the aptitude to pick up a playbook.
Well
so
played.
In his 2 or 3 weeks here in Houston, maybe. Now, you got to remember, though, too, well, yeah, you can pick him up and put him on your practice squad. Yeah. I was about to say, like, you've only got so many spots on the roster. You don't want to boot somebody, but they could put him on the practice squad. If you're a Texans fan that's worried about that, worry about, like, 1,900 other things first.
Yeah. Good call. Here was Nick Caserio with us about a week ago today, with us talking about the Texans getting ready for the Chargers and saying that the way they're working that week has typically led to success during the season.
Yeah, definitely appreciated the opportunity. I think when you kind of turn the page and you get through the regular season to have your team in a position to compete when you're playing meaningful football in December and January, it carries a certain weight along with it. So everybody's excited about the opportunity in front of us. We had a great sort of first day of preparation, first day of work. We were actually out there on a field yesterday practicing on a Tuesday, which isn't normal, but the fact that the game is Sunday, we've kind of structured the schedule. And what we've found is when we work, we play good football. So the players were focused. The players had the right mindset. It's not easy because you come off the heels of a Sunday game and you got to kind of turn the page. But everybody understands what's in front of us and the awareness is heightened and everybody's excited about the opportunity in front of us against a good Los Angeles team that's coming in here on Saturday.
All right, now we have the benefit of hindsight. Whatever they were doing last week worked out really, really well for them.
Right, and I think that, you know, we had a disagreement with the afternoon show as to what Nick meant by all of that, and partly it's just because in that soundbite right there, your mind goes to, like, what, were guys not working hard enough? Right. We had further discussion about it, and really it was a load management, and what the Texans experimented with or tried this year, especially in short weeks, was, all right, you know, the GPS data is telling this, and you gotta be concerned about guys getting overly beat up or not recovered. So there were times where they scaled back the practice schedule, and then last week I said, all right, no, you know, maybe
pads.
Maybe the data tells us that we should take a break, or maybe we should go no pads. Nope. We're gonna go out and we're gonna practice in pads. It's just hard this time of year. Guys are beat up, and even before the days of all the data stuff, old school football coaches would have to, in the NFL especially, would really have to struggle with these decisions about how hard do we practice this late in the year. I never took it as like guys on the field weren't practicing hard. It was just a matter of, are we practicing at all? What kind of practices are we having? They've decided to go the old school route and just say, yep, we're still in pads because it works for us.
Yeah, I like it. And CJ brought it up unprompted in a couple of interviews after the game.
Yeah.
Practicing in pads. Here was D'Amico Ryans on his coach's show talking about the prep for the Charger game last week.
You have to put the work in, right? And that's one thing I don't want to – want our guys to understand. You never shortchange the work. Like, we're going to – with the way we work throughout the week has shown up in games throughout our entire season. We have a really good week of work, and we've been on the winning side of things when we go and play games. Right? When we've had short weeks, we've had – you know, things happen where we had to cut reps and all those things. In practice, we don't play as well. So we'll continue to work like that this week. We have a full workload this week. And so hopefully it still, you know, translates to a win.
And like, honestly, this is the way it works. And on various teams, what really matters is that you've got buy-in from your veterans, because there's almost like a, it's kind of like a union versus the company mindset at times, where the vet players are like, wait, coach, what are we doing? Or guys are, you know, you rely on your veterans to tell you whether guys are tired or not. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a good relationship between the coaches and the veteran players, the coach can have those conversations and, you know, come to almost like a labor agreement about, like, yeah, we really need this. Like, at a good company where, you know, like the union foreman, like, wants the best for the company, so he's not just always trying to screw over the boss, but the boss also genuinely wants to help the players out. You got to have a good relationship in that regard. So on that side of it, when you're asking the team to practice in pads late in the year, and guys are banked up and they have to fight their way through it, They got to believe that it's important,
yeah.
You know, and they got to believe that, yeah, this really matters. So it's not just going out there in pads. It's guys actually embracing it and saying, yeah, we're going to have a good practice in pads. Even though it sucks, we know that our team is better when we do this. And it sounds like they got that.
Well, that's where the validation, right, of you had all three phases play well on Saturday. You know, like, yeah. That's where the not just fact that they won, but that they won so convincingly. The offense had its best game in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Wasn't perfect. It was bad for a quarter and a half. But the defense might have had its best game of the year on Saturday. And then special teams did some things. I think that helps. You know, that's the equivalent of the old ding for you, Seth.
Well, yeah,
you know,
you've got the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
And like, and all of that goes back to, I mean, some of this stuff, to have an environment like that, that's years in the making in terms of what types of guys do you have on the team.
Sure.
I always go back to when CJ was on the Pivot podcast and he called Laramie a vet, which meant that he didn't do anything extra or anything like that. That scared the crap out of me, because mm-hmm. that is a bad attitude to infuse and a bad example to set for the younger players on the team. Mm-hmm. Whatever any particular player is like now, it feels like they've got that buy-in.
Yeah.
And I would just tell you from personal experience, okay, I played for Tom Coughlin, old school guy, and Coughlin's kind of mentality was still of that, almost like what he probably thought was a military mentality, but which is, they never actually know how the military works, that almost like, you guys aren't tired, you're soft, get out there and practice. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, cool. Versus D'Amico, where I think it's probably more like, man, I want you guys to see the way that we played after this week or that week.
Yeah.
Or look at some of these mistakes we're making when we haven't practiced, and getting genuine buy-in from the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And it matters. That's where, like, all those little motivational things and relationship things, and simply having the right kinds of guys on your team,
sure,
that understand, all right, yeah, this is what we got to do. It's not every team is like that.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely, it's an ingredient in the, it's inherent in the guys that they go out and find that they would buy into this approach at this stage of the season.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year, because you
didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Andy Reid met with the media yesterday. What do you see on the Texans' defense, Coach Reid?
I mean, the first thing that jumps out at you is speed. That front can run. We didn't have a chance to play against Zero last year, or last time we played him a couple weeks back. And he's fast also as a linebacker, and he's kind of their main play caller there. So, you know, but he can, the speed of the D-line, the linebackers, just jump out at you. And they're real good. The hands of the secondary, those guys, they catch the ball. You don't see a lot of bobbles or drops or that. They, if you're presenting it close, they can go up and snag it.
Almost sounds like Andy Reid has a good grasp for assessing football teams.
It's a good scouting report.
I trust Andy Reid's opinion about what the Texans' defense looks like. Yeah, the ball skills is of Derek Stingley in particular, kind of freakish. He's like a wide receiver. He's got better ball skills. And like the ability to track the ball, everything like that, better than a lot of receivers, better than Deontay Johnson. And but Azeez Alshire, when he says Zero, he's talking about Azeez Alshire. That is, again, we talked about it. It's a huge X factor. You didn't have Azeez out there. Azeez's ability to both coach the defensive linemen when he's on the field, but then also to play off of them and cover up some mistakes sometimes by the defensive line, or if a defensive tackle is getting beat or whatever, Azeez can erase a lot of that. And then the overall, you know, one thing the Texans did in that Chargers game is they didn't play a lot of man coverage, but when they did, they were awesome at it.
Sticky, yeah.
Yeah, and they were, of the playoff performances last week, I was looking at a chart this morning, you know, the Texans were... They played amongst the fewest number of snaps of man coverage, but they had the highest grades when they were in man coverage.
Yeah.
And there were times where Azeez was stunting, and they had a five-man rush where either the pass rush came clean, or if it didn't, they were nails in coverage.
Yeah.
And it got better and better as the game went along. And then in the second half, they stopped rushing five as much. They just had a four-man pass rush, and it really started to click. And then they had him right where they wanted because they had an extra guy in coverage. Herbert was getting harassed. It was really, really good.
Azeez didn't practice yesterday. It said listed with a knee. It doesn't seem like everybody's overly concerned about that, but it should be pointed out. He did. It wasn't listed as rest. He wasn't limited with rest. He was DNP. Knee on the injury report.
And Nico didn't practice with rest.
Yeah.
He's
limited.
Because of rest.
Yeah, he was limited.
It was just a veteran day rest.
Yeah.
Christian Harris is a big one that, you know, he only played seven snaps in the game. And D'Amico just said, hey, it's taking a while for him to come back.
Yeah.
So at this point, I wouldn't expect Christian Harris, like heavy usage out of Christian Harris for the rest of the postseason, but it'd be nice if it happens, but it feels like he's probably still kind of having a little bit of a roller coaster of when his calf is feeling good and when it's not.
Well, he'll get a full week of rest in between the AFC title game and the Super Bowl. You know, so that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Texans are 50-1. They're the longest shot on the board to win the Super Bowl. 50-1. 50-1, and the next closest is the Commanders at 28-1. So the Texans are like, they're out on the seventh circle right now when it comes to Super Bowl champions.
Especially if you look at the NFC or the AFC, the road for the Texans through the Chiefs and then either the Ravens or the Bills.
Oh, yeah.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I'm not overly. I'm not mad.
I saw a lot of people
it.
Offended at Vegas on that. And like, it's just kind of like last week. The Texans, yes, it made sense that the Texans were the underdog last week. The Chargers had been a more complete and well-rounded football team. But it was
late
just
in
stupid.
The season, too. Yeah.
It was stupid. I mean, they were three-point underdogs. It was stupid the way some people were acting like there was no way the Texans could win that game.
Yeah, that was
it was one of the most idiotic sentiments I've seen adopted wholesale ever. It was just, no, the line was where it probably should have been. And as long as the best version of the Texans showed up, or even a better version of the Texans showed up, yeah, they could win that game, obviously.
Line's up to 9 now on this game.
9?
It's up to 9. Have you gotten down?
Well, now I am insulted.
Okay. You know
why? Because that's the betting public that's driving that up.
Yeah.
There hasn't been any kind of a change or anything that made the handicappers change their opinion.
No.
That's the betting public that's saying like, oh yeah, Texans, they suck. I forgot. Yeah, they totally suck, don't you know?
Joe Q Public loves favorites, especially favorites with a week rest at home.
Especially favorites with a look. We've benefited from this with the Astros for many, many years.
Yeah.
Well, until recently, that they just flat out have a knack for playing their best baseball and/or football in the
pedigree.
Playoffs.
Yeah, they got a pedigree, yeah. Man. They got a pedigree. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's do some headlines coming up next. Kind of a light headline day, but we'll get into some of them. Texans have a couple moves they made yesterday. We'll get you up to speed on the injury report. As well, Texans also have a little something they want you guys to know about for Friday. So we'll give you a little thing to circle on your calendar. We'll get into headlines coming up next.